Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and tonight we are talking waiver wires and just a bit of a end of round recap. And to help me do that is Stevie Fizz. Welcome, pal.
How you doing, Jono? It's amazing. I've survived the weekend. No Mrs. Fizz, no baby Fizz, and the NFL draft is over.
I am surprised you are still alive, because some of those tweets we saw out on Friday afternoon and going into Saturday didn't get as messy as I thought they would be, but they were pretty coherent.
I didn't crack my first beer on Friday until about 1 p.m., so I kept it pretty civil, to be honest.
Mrs. Crocker's going away for this weekend coming up, so I'm going to be in the same boat as you will be come Friday afternoon about. But I'm more of an alcoholic than you, so he will be starting at 10 a.m.
My God.
And he's back from his birthday shenanigans. We welcome to you, Statesman.
Yeah, I need to apologize to the listeners first and foremost. A lot of excuses for the reason I wasn't around on Thursday. The reality was I went to the doctors and found out I had Vault syndrome. That's a condition where you're constantly beaten by Captain Riewoldt. So after we diagnosed that, we took our players and they've had some counselling, and thankfully it's worked, because this week in the Listener League, we've been able to get up and beat Jono.
Yes, but you have lost to second last in the Keepers League, to also me.
Yes, well, I wasn't going to talk about that league.
I'm not even sure that's actually accurate, that you're at the doctors, because I think you're in New York. I'm pretty sure of it, because on our Facebook, I saw a photo of a bloke who resembled you in a sailor's outfit with two other blokes, which could only mean New York, New York. It's a hell of a town. The Bronx is up and the Battery's down.
Yes, yes, that is true. I did hear those rumours too, but they're not correct.
A bit of news coming out over the weekend. As we heard late during last week, that Jesse Hogan's father sadly passed away. The Demons are unsure if he will take the field this Sunday up against the Hawks. We will find out about that a little bit later on. And going back to Friday night, we saw Nick Haynes suffer a pretty bad hammy tear. I didn't quite see it. I was getting a beer out of the fridge, but Steve tells me he did the splits. Didn't look too good there. So 10 weeks for Nick Haynes.
Well, we were watching Bloodsport that night, Jono.
No, I watched that Thursday night, the new one.
Oh, no, the old one was on TV. Yeah, it just reminded me of Van Damme, and it just Nick Haynes isn't Van Damme flexible.
Not at all. Nathan Fyfe to come under the match review panel scrutiny for a bit of a cheap shot on there on Elliot Yeo. Fyfe didn't have the greatest of games and just acting out a bit of frustration there. I hope for my legal records that he doesn't get suspended, because I need another captain. Gary Ablett, not bad for an old fella, hey, Statesman? Just a lazy 45 disposals and 18 clearances. Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
No, that's true.
And
you suck episode on its way.
And Nank the Tank also to come under fire from the match review panel. Gave a bit of a high hit to Dave McKay as he was trying to get him off his back. So we'll wait and see to find out what happens there. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, or check us out on Facebook. Search The Draft Doctors and we'll come up there and see all the content dropping. But today we are talking our waiver wires coming out on Monday. Thank God for that, not later in the week. And to kick us off with those is the Statesman. Fire away, pal.
Yes, first up I have Cam Peterson. Obviously, he's taken over the ruck mantle at Melbourne with their injuries. Currently listed as a forward, but if you're in one of those leagues that give you the change of positions, there's no doubt Cam will pick up the ruck position as well. He's only owned by 22%. and will fill in for the ruck for at least the next 5 to 6 weeks and perform quite well there. And obviously them getting the victory only helps his cause. And scored 98 this week. So, yes, only against Tom Bell Chambers, who was playing his first game for almost 2 years. But I do believe Cam Pedersen will keep scoring around that 80 mark, just being able to play on the ball and get a bit of freedom around the ground. What do you think of him, gentlemen?
Yeah, not too bad. They've got the Hawks this week as well. So up against Big Boy, who knows? He could actually go all right and lead him around the ground and get a few more possessions.
Absolutely. And now I've been banging on about number two for quite a while. But seriously, if he's on the waiver wire, you've got to pick him up. And that's Lockie Weller. He's a forward who will get defender status. He's still only owned by 64%, which is quite surprising, considering his last three scores are 83, 84 and 80. He's only had one down game since the start of the season. And I think he's just a shoe-in between that 75 and 85 average. Lockie Weller, he's a class player. He's a great ball user. Now they've gone the kids free-o. He's secure in a position, and they want him at halfback, and they want the ball in his hands. Great player. Make sure you pick him up. I've got another defender coming out at number three, and it's Jimmy Webster, owned by 40%, 2 tons in the last 3 weeks and averaging over 80. Looks quite solid in that St Kilda defensive line, and I think Jimmy Webster will be a great pickup. One that's been available all year, and he's just hit the form in the last couple of weeks, including a ton and a 90 in the last two games, averaging 74 as a forward mid, is Carl Amon. A quality player for Port Adelaide and only owned by that quarter of the leagues, he should be available on your waiver wire and quite worthwhile to cover your injury and suspensions. Another one that actually scored big points for Steve this week is Ben Brown for North Melbourne, owned by only 25%. Big haul this week of 115. Points raved his average over 80. So as a forward who obviously has the potential to have a bit of time in the ruck with the concerns they've been having with their injuries, Goldie looks to be struggling every second week. Under 80 as an average of a forward, he's certainly one worthwhile to be sitting there on your emergencies or even on your bench if you've got those positions. And last but not least, another defender, Clay Beams, only owned by 58%. He's played the last three games. And yes, of course, he's an injury risk, but he's been pretty solid those three games and an averaging close to 80. So they're my waiver wire pickups, gents.
Thank you very much, Statesman. And when we are talking about our waiver wires, we have the 65% rule of ultimate footy, just so everyone has a chance to get these players and not miss out. On to you, Steve, with your waiver wires.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree with the Statesman. Cam Pedersen is my number one waiver. And Jimmy Webster, love it. Also playing the GWS this week, which we know defenders are scoring pretty handsomely against. So he'll give you an instant bang for your buck there. My number three, he's still only owned in 54% of the league. Aaron Mullett, defender for North Melbourne. He just continues to knock out good score after good score. The halfback line at North Melbourne is very well organised. He's doing a great job for you. Another defender, Lockie Plowman, only 53% owned. Carlton are playing Collingwood this week. Look at the scores that guys like Lonigan and Guthrie have put out this week against Collingwood. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Every single week it happens. Midfielder, Connor Blakely is still only owned in 56% of teams. Now, he's not going anywhere. They've got him on and around the ball, whether it's a negating role or not. He's there, and he's certainly shown the ability to win a clearance or two. And lastly, Michael Johnson's still only owned in 47% of leagues. Maybe he's a better super coach pick, but he's certainly a quality defender. A lot of defensive options there, guys.
Yeah, pretty much a lot of mine are all the defensive picks. Number one for me is Jonathan Giles for the West Coast Eagles. Saw Nathan Vardy go out with that hyperextended elbow. So looks like he could get a bit of solo ruck time for a week or two, which will help his scores. Only owned by 51% of leagues, so great chance you'll get him there. Another one for me is Caden Brand from Hawthorn. I don't want anyone else in that team, but pick up a few of their defenders. This guy can mark the ball. He can run it back off the half-back line. Only owned by 21%. Use him as a bench player, as a plug-and-play. I've got two GWS defenders. I'm tossing up which one to go lean towards with the injury to Nick Haynes and who gets the bump. You've got Aiden Corr at 1% ownership, or you got Nathan Wilson there at 15%. So have a look. Grab both of them if you can, or pick one off the free agency. But one of them should surely get a bump with Nick Haynes going down. And my other one is George Hewitt from the Sydney Swans. They're in a whole world of pain. He's scoring quite nicely, only owned by 55%. So he's definitely going to get a run now, you think, with the Swans at 0-6. And if you do like the show, please do check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button to the show, and please do leave us a review. We do have a review this week from Faz Mountain, and he says, my title for this review was incredibly lame. The title was definitely better than Carlton .. But you know what isn't lame? The chaps that put together two highly informative pods a week for the avid fantasy footy player, covering everything from injuries, form lines, and hot free agents. These boys are comprehensive, and you might even have a few laughs along the way. Enjoy, people. Thank you very much for that, Faz Mountain. Please do check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And we're moving on now just to a bit of a round wrap-up, where we each have six teams that we follow throughout the year, and to kick us off is Statesman.
Yes, well, first off, Sydney Swans, Isaac Heaney, 120 points. I would say it was a good game, although he was playing against me in the keeper, so we should bag it for the time being, seeing he was playing for Jono. But great form. Obviously, he's a little bit slow in his first game back, but hit some fantastic form and looks like he's going to play a fair bit of centre. So the only problem there, Jono, it looks like for next year at a keeper, he will be a midfield-only player. Is that a concern? Would you still keep him?
Absolutely. He's going to be a jet for the next 10 years, and my midfield is pretty weak in the keepers, so be pretty happy with that.
I totally agree with you. Actually, Callum Sinclair, who actually might be on some waiver wires, actually done what we expected him to do when he first arrived in Sydney and actually dominated. 105 he scored, so very impressive game for Callum. Jake Lloyd, 104, continuing his fantastic form. Good to see Dan Han turn it up slightly, 103. JPK, 96, and Luke Parker, 95. So they're still a little bit below par. Zach Jones still performing well, sort of playing on the wing on the weekend for 92 in what was a pretty disappointing game for the Sydney Swans, and they dropped to 0-6. A bit of a surprise there, gentlemen, Sydney Swans being on the bottom of the table.
Yeah, certainly is. Everyone had them right up there in the pointy end of the season again, but they look like they've just done a Freo and completely fallen off the cliff.
Absolutely. And Lance Franklin, only 69, and could be in a bit of MRP trouble. I don't think it was anything too major. If he gets anything, it'll just be the 1 week. Next off is Brisbane Lions, who just really got ran over at the top right from the start. And they're just playing catch-up and never got to that stage. Mitch Robertson scored 112 in AFL fantasy scoring. He can rack it up, but he's just inconsistent. But if he's floating around, do pick him up. Lewis Taylor, one of my best draft picks this year, got him in the 200s, 105, and scoring in the mid-80s. So he's really hit some form. Another one we were raving on about early in the preseason, Tom Cutler turned up again with 102 in his first game back, repaying the owners that actually had him miss a week and only score three the previous round. Tom Rockliffe was pretty slow for most of the game, but chunked it up a little bit late to get his ton, a smack 100. Stefan Martin was just beaten on the day with 86, and Clay Beams, who we mentioned before, 83. And, of course, Dane Zorko, who smashed a big score last week, unfortunately a little bit slower this week, with just the 76. Moving on to the Gold Coast Suns, apparently some old bloke got a few points, so we'll move on to the other ones. Jared Harborough, 104. It's been up and down, gents, but we know Jared can score, so he will pump out a decent average for the year. So if he is floating around, see if you can utilise him. And the right matchups, he's going to be quite worthwhile in your defensive line. Jared Lyons, who I gave away as part of a bit of a deal for Lockie Neal, pumped out close to a ton for Jono as well, 96. Sexton got 95. Again, one of those players that can either give you a big score or bottom down. So he's one of those type of players in a keeper league you should keep an eye on, because when he gets consistent good roles, I think he's going to be a pretty good scorer. Took Miller was back on the scoring line after a couple of 60s, gave you an 88. So did Barlow as well, 88. And Handsome Tom, a little bit quieter this week, only gave you an 80, but you would have been happy with your 80 from Peter Wright, Steve.
Where was he? Was he on the field?
He certainly was. Two goals, eight marks,
no, I mean
80
for me.
Points. What? Wasn't on your field, obviously.
I don't know. I can't remember. I had Will Hoskin Elliott, though. That was pretty handy.
Yeah, it was a good performance. I'm sure a few people would have actually put him on the bench after his 51 on Anzac Day, but great performance turning it up this week.
Well, someone in our league of record put him in the pool.
Ooh, and who was a lucky person that picked him up?
He's on waiver wires for tomorrow. You won't be able to pick up tomorrow.
Either of you two got pick one or two?
Steve's pick one, I'm pick three.
Ooh, are you going to pick him up, Steve?
I will be thinking very long and hard about Cam Pedersen, to be honest. I think there's a bit more consistency.
Although Cam Pedersen may only be around for 5 or 6 weeks.
That's fine. That's not a problem. Not a problem. I got Deledio coming in, mate. He's gonna carry me over the line.
Round 22.
He'll score higher than Dalhouse. Maybe not. Elliot Yeo for the West Coast Eagles. Absolutely fantastic. 14 marks, 32 disposals, 6 tackles for an AFL fantasy score of 152. Quite incredible. I think he's had one subpar performance this year. He is an absolute jet. I think he's averaging about 108 this year. That's quite incredible, Elliot Yeo. Josh Kennedy obviously bagged 6 for his 120. Matt Prittis was in great form with his 120 as well, including 9 tackles. Luke Shuey continues his fantastic form. He's been a revelation in the point scoring this year for 110. Gaff continues his good form with 109. Butler, Mitchell and Marston all got tons as well. And isn't it great to see, seeing he wasn't even in the team at the beginning of the year, Dom Sheed scoring well for 99, and I think you'll find he's on a fair few of the waiver wires as well. For the Fremantle Dockers, great to see Lockie Neal actually spend some time in the midfield. 8 tackles, 29 disposals for his 114. Ed Langdon, who will be on the waiver wire for 109, and Harley Balich also scored pretty well in his third game for 91. Sandylands, 89. Lockie Weller, as we talked about before, 80. And Connor Blakely, 88. Were the only ones you could really write home about for Fremantle. And it's probably been a disappointing season. And certainly very low scores for Michael Walters. Gentlemen, has Michael Walters finished his fantasy relevance?
Was he ever relevant to begin with?
He certainly averaged in the 80s previously, and as a forward, that's quite worthwhile.
Yeah, look, man, I love Michael Walters, one of my favourite players, but you just can't take him at the moment. He's not He's not. I mean, when he was relevant, he was basically all they had. Lager used to give him the forward 50 on his own because Pavlich was struggling, let's say. And now there's other options.
No. Absolutely. And last but not least, on Fremantle, Nat 5, only 64. Gentlemen, what's your thoughts on Nat 5 at the moment?
Not producing the scores that owners would be expecting. I am a Nat 5 owner in our legal record and was hoping for a 120-plus average, but not happening at the moment. Maybe in the back end of the season when he's up to pace, who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting. He started the season so well, but he's really dropped off.
What do you think, mate?
Essendon?
What do you think about
him? Yeah, I'm a fan of Nat 5 and certainly have him in quite a few of the formats, but the reality is he's just not putting the scores up at the moment. And I was just trying to see if anyone thinks it's actually form, it's carrying injury, or whether just the opposition are putting so much pressure on him that he's finding it hard to score.
I kind of wonder, like, we're seeing some of these... you know, mids we've seen be very heavy clearance mids, and that's where they generate all their points, and they're really up and down to me this year, and we're seeing such amazing half-back scoring across the board. I'm just kind of wondering if, because of the pace of the game, maybe those clearances are a bit less, and that's going to affect these guys scoring. But the game's really being played between the 50s, and that's certainly a good thing for half-forwards, or half-back, sorry.
Oh, absolutely. And in hindsight, me swapping a Lachie Neale for a Doherty at the moment looks like a bad call. And I'd say three of the best scorers actually half backs or backline players, being Sam Doherty, Rory Laird, and also Roberton from St Kilda is just racking up the footy, and those guys have got really high ceilings now. Normally your defenders have got a ceiling of 110, 115, but these guys are smashing at 130s, 140s, and as we saw this weekend from Doherty, 150.
Yeah, I feel so much, like if I'm looking for a fourth or fifth defender, I feel much more confident that I'm going to get a good baseline score out of a defender than I am a midfielder that I find on the waiver wire.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. Moving on to my last team being Essendon. Joe Danaher would be getting close to 200 if he could kick straight. 110 he pumped out, kicking 1 goal 6, would you believe it?
And one or two on the full.
13 marks. It's magnificent. We talked actually about him in an article earlier in the year that he had a really good chance to break out, purely and simply because he'd been building while there was no midfielders in that club. All of a sudden, they've got quality players around him. He's going to score big on occasion. There's no doubt about that. And an absolute superstar when he learns how to kick straight. Zach Merritt, 108, so continuing decent form, a little bit lower than normal. Michael Hurley played a magnificent game, 13 marks for 108 in AFL Fantasy. Brendan Goddard's been in fantastic form, gentlemen. He's just been solid as a rock, pumped out another ton. Andrew McGarrah, if you've got him in a keeper, 99 as a defender, is absolutely superb. Worthwhile if you can find a way to trade for him and lock him away in your defence for the next decade. Dyson Heppel, performing okay, had a blind to first game, but has sort of just been thereabouts for the rest of the season so far with 96. Tom Bell-Chambers, 91 in his first game with 33 hit-outs, but we must remember he was only against Cam Pedersen, so he should be racking up some points through the hit-outs there. And not too much else to be amazed about. Darcy Parrish is sort of dropping away at the moment. I think that's more role. And gentlemen, bit concerned with Joe Watson only scoring 48. I think that's his second out of the last 3 weeks have been quite low scores.
Yeah, and the only week he scored really well was against Collingwood in the wet.
And that's probably where he'll be at for the rest of the year, I think. Not in the 40s, but so. Not scoring as what we expected him.
And that's my teams, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Statesman, moving on to you, Steve. If you give us your takedown, please.
Yeah, well, first off, on Friday night, GWS prevail, Jono, in a cracking game that almost lived up to the Port Carlton game of the week before. Shane Mumford continues to dominate the hitouts. We did say it was a bit of a risky captain option. Didn't do too badly. Hit the ton. Johnny Patton is huge and delivered in the big moments. And what a great pair of hands he has. I really thought he got dudded in his Supercoach score because he did the big things.
He was a monster. He was a monster, yeah.
Toby Green was okay, but he'll be coming under the MRP scrutiny, you'd imagine.
There'll be weeks there, a couple of weeks, I reckon.
I'm pretty sure he got the ball. Just so happened Caleb Daniels' face was there also. Nick Haynes, 10 weeks, not looking good. You mentioned Aiden Corr, Jono. I'm not sure he's going to get the bump. I think he's more a bit more locked down, so it'll be certainly interesting to see what happens there. But they just wore him down, and it was a reverse of the match last year where the Bulldogs just got over. It's about producing in the big moments in these tight matches, and the GWS just executed in the big moments, I think. So they're still just a very even team. On to North. They finally got in. Well done. So that was good to see. Sean Higgins was massive, just running amok in the midfield. He's certainly a quality user. And we're all over him all week. And that was Sideshow Bob with 6 goals. Man, he was amazing. The key forwards against Gold Coast are certainly doing the job, much in the same style that Brisbane were giving it up to the forwards last year.
Does Gold Coast have any tall defenders left? I know we saw KK was a late out, but, man, they're struggling.
They are struggling, John, and that's really the point. Horvat bobbed up with a nice ton, probably his best game for the Kangaroos. And Aaron Mullett and the halfbacks continue to go fantastically well. Luke McDonald's finally starting to look like he's putting it together. It took a little while, but it's thereabouts. Marley Williams is playing some great, too. Another great chase-down tackle. Trent Dumont was quiet, running with Gary Ablett. He got a bit of a lesson there, but that's going to happen. And I actually thought Witts got the better of Goldie. Goldie wasn't great. I know he scored okay in the end, but that was he's not flying along, old Goldie. So if you drafted him early, on to Port, they destroyed Brisbane. Everyone scored fantastically well there, except my captain, Ollie Wines. He's gone from the Grange down to the Fruity Lexia. And my red-hot forward stream, Aaron Young, what the hell, man? What the hell? Not good at all. Robbie Gray, Jarman Impey, and Charlie Dixon kick 4 snags, living on in the memory of... What was his name? Johnny Butcher?
Johnny Butcher.
Lest we forget. And Jackson Tringo have also polled in 3 goals. Are these guys the new flat track bullies?
They're looking like they were a couple of years ago, just running and rolling over teams. So there must be something in the Adelaide water over there, but I certainly won't be drinking it.
Yeah. I don't mind teams who finish, boys. I don't mind teams who put bad teams away. So good on them. On to Carlton. And they somehow managed to get a win without Reece, which was very impressive, I thought. Although he did miss the
win. He was giving massages in the room.
Well, he was actually unavailable, so I'm going to say that he couldn't play in the twos. They probably would have used him. Amazing. Matty Wright continues the run of small forwards laying the pipe to the rampy-less Swans. They've got big problems down back. What do you think, Statesman? The small forwards are just killing them at the moment.
Yes, they are, and it's going to be interesting what they do, whether they actually go to those older players like a McVay when they come about. But isn't this a great opportunity now to actually educate your young players? So actually go in and say, well, we've got to change the way we go. I don't think you're going to make the finals at 0-6. I think, yes, you can say it's mathematically possible, but the reality is, use the Frio philosophy and go, okay, we're going to rebuild, we're going to invigorate, and we're going to bite the bullet. No offence to Jared McVay, great player, co-captain, all that type of stuff, premiership player. But there's not too much point going back to those type of players. You need to go to the young blokes and give them the red-hot chance. And I was probably a little bit disappointed that, and sorry, I can't think of his name now, but 2 weeks ago they had a young midfielder slant defender come through, was playing really good footy. As soon as a couple of older blokes come out, they just released him back to Neefel, brought him back in this week. But the reality is you just got to back your young players now and give them a shot. And if they're getting carved up, it's just a lesson. Use the videotape to educate them. Nick Newman, exactly right. They've just got to back him in and say he's a quality player, has been in the Neefel for quite a while. He doesn't look out of place. He uses the footy really well. Yes, he's got to add some defensive part of the game, but play him in the top level, get him to be exposed and use the vision to educate of how to become a better defensive player.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
well said.
And I mean, if they finish last, then they can use all the academy points on like the real number one pick.
Correct.
Anyway, back to Carlton, man. Matty Wright absolutely dominated, and a couple of huge scores from Kate Simpson and Sam Doherty, just launching it out for missile strikes from halfback. Carlton had a centre clearance dominance with a lot of good even performances. There was no one who really stood out with huge numbers for the midfielders. And Matty Cruiser back to scoring well for the Blues. Collingwood on Sunday. Well, if Carlton didn't screw up your tipping, Collingwood sure did. Really, Geelong just allowed them so much space inside the forward 50, more than anyone else has done, and I thought it was strange they let it continue all game. But the Pies held Geelong up going the other way, which was bizarre, and no silver service for Tommy Hawkins. Pendlebury bounced back in a huge way. He was fantastic. Taylor Adams was great. Jack Crisp, again, was put in another solid performance, and Will Hoskin-Elliott floating around on the wing in a nice dry day. Certainly knows how to perform in those dry conditions. Adam Treloar was down again. A lot of handballs, so he didn't get to turn the ball over as usual. Steel Sidebottom, massive dream team. Horrible super coach, and he's very capable of doing that with his uncontested game. And Greenwood laid the hard tag as usual on Joel Selwood and kept him reasonably quiet. A bit of fire in that. And lastly, Richmond, off to a hot start, and they've been fast, but Adelaide are just faster, and they absolutely beat them up in the clearance and on the spread. They really couldn't find a winner. Koch and Dusty battled on. Kane Lambert scored okay. Daniel Rioli did some great things, looked very dangerous, but they just didn't have the ball enough. I think Alex Rance had a pretty decent super coach as the ball was flying in there a heap. He got a few turnover marks, and that's my teams.
Thank you very much, Steve. I'm kicking off with the Doggies on Friday night. The Bont, a bit quiet in the first quarter, but then really took the game apart, kicked three goals and went 140 Supercoach 102 Dream Team. Caleb Daniel was fantastic in his return game from being dropped, tonning up in both formats. And Jack McRae also going 99 Dream Team, 102 Supercoach. So it was a pretty... it wasn't really a fantasy... friendly scoring game, but that's what it was. On to Saturday afternoon down in Tassie, Hawthorn rolled over completely against the fast-moving Saints. You had Tommy Mitchell, scoring quite well this season with 125 Dream Team, 117 Supercoach. Big Boy and McAvoy also turning up in the both formats up against Billy Longo there in the ruck. Luke Hodge was great down back, with 106 in Dream Team, 97 Supercoach. And Billy Hartung had a nice score in Dream Team with 93, but only the 56 Supercoach points. We mentioned Billy Hartung in the late week pickup, so if you got him, you would have had a nice score in Dream Team, not so much Supercoach. But with the Saints, oh man, they're just giving out tons left, right, and center. 10 tons in for the Saints there. Yeah, Jack Stephen going massive in Dream Team, 133. Dylan Robertson, as we've spoken about, just really scoring well this year, 132 Dream Team, 149 in Supercoach. So if you probably would have got him pretty late going off his average from last year. Jack Steele was fantastic, laid 10 tackles, going close to 120 in both formats. Seb Ross is going really well as well with Armitage out of that team. 117 and 105 in Supercoach. Nick Riewoldt with the four goals. Joey Montagna also going quite well. Mav Weller turned up in Dream Team format, not the super coach. And Kobe Stevens, his first game back as well, going the ton in both formats as well. It'll be interesting to see how he goes next week against a decent opposition. Moving on to Melbourne. I didn't see all of this game, but apparently it's not one you're going to be rushing out to get the DVD of. No. Tommy Mack, down back, did quite well, going 116-104. Clayton Oliver having a fantastic year, going the ton again in both formats. Dom Tyson, 113 in Dream Team, only the 82 in Supercoach. Cam Pedersen was fantastic, 114 Supercoach, the 98 Dream Team. And Jack Watts, also fantastic, tunning up in both formats. And with the Cats, I had him as a captain risky option for you. That was Mitch Duncan. Went 117 Dream Team, 114 in Supercoach. So if you took my advice, you would have been pretty happy with that. Zach Tui also getting those. We know defenders score well against the Pies. 117 in Dream Team, 95 in Supercoach. Same with Andrew Mackey. Got the ton in Dream Team, but not in Supercoach. Even Harry Taylor got the ton in Dream Team, but not in Supercoach. And George Haaland-Smith got the ton in Dream Team and 92 in Supercoach. Moving on to the Crows, as Steve had the Tigers, they absolutely rolled them over after that first quarter. Hit big Sauce Jacobs, going over 150 in Dream Team and the 116 in Supercoach. Rory Sloan, another one of my captain options for this week. Would have returned your 140 in Supercoach, 155 Dream Team. Copped a bit of a knock and iced, had to get his leg, I think it was his leg iced up there, so didn't really affect his score too much. Matty Crouch was fantastic with 122 and 111. Rory Laird, he's got to be All-Australian this year, going 120 in Supercoach, 113 Dream Team. Tommy Lynch, nice personality, Tommy Lynch. Had a fantastic game, kicking the three goals, taking the nine marks. Rory Atkins, really loving that outside ball that the Crows like to get him out to him as a runner. You're not going to miss him because he looks like Jason Ackermanis these days with that blonde hair. It's absolutely hideous, but it hasn't been affecting his scores. Steve, you're going to love this because goals don't matter in fantasy format. Tex Walker, 5 goals, 2, 7 marks. Didn't even get over 90. So, don't know what's happening there.
But Joe Danaher's 1 goal, 6. That's a ton, baby.
That's a ton, that's right.
Well, they just give him bonus points because he didn't kick it out in the full.
But, yeah, the Adelaide Crows is looking really good this year, so it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up for the whole year. But that wraps up the show for this week. Have you got anything else there, boys?
Not me. Looking forward to a bit of trade talk on Thursday's show, Jono. Isn't it great having regular weeks of football?
Yes. Until it changes until round 10 and it all gets thrown up the you-know-what.
Did someone say, did you see the report that they're not allowed to sell 4 and 20 pies because the number 4 in Chinese culture means death?
Yeah, so Paddy Ryder and Jack Martin wear the number 4, so what are they going to do there?
They'll wear 2X2.
2X2.
Isn't that bizarre?
Any other players? Very bizarre.
Well, they could write 8 halved because isn't 8 lucky in Chinese culture? Isn't that... That's a
9. Number 9.
I'm pretty sure it's 8. Number 9.
I thought it was 9.
Huh. I'm sure the listeners know.
Yeah, hit us up. If you know the answer, hit us up on social media.
Do I have a Palmer? Can we have a Palmer bet on this, Jono? Because I reckon I'm right.
Hey, we'll have a Palmer.
Yes!
I'm pretty sure I'm right. So what was it? 9 and...
I said 8. I've got 8.
And I've gone 9. All right. If you got the answer, let us know. You can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. Or check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you on Friday.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.